a fit to live there. We found ourselves a place right on the bay, so we are going to move down in a couple of weeks. Now the old coot can fish night and day if he wants to. I know I spoil him, but with all his orneriness, he's still a pretty good old guy. Don't know what to say about leaving, so I won't say much. Both of us were raised right here in Whistlestop and had so many wonderful times and friends. But most of them have gone somewhere else. The place doesn't seem the same, and now with all these new superhighways they got, you can hardly tell where Birmingham ends and Whistlestop begins. Now that I look back, it seems to me that after the cafe closed, the heart of the town just stopped beating. Funny how a little knockabout like that brought so many people together. At least we all have our memories, and I've still got my old sweetheart with me. Dot Weems. P.S. If any of you ever get to Fairhope, Alabama, look us up. I'll be the one sitting on the back porch cleaning all the fish. Whistlestop Cemetery, Whistlestop, Alabama, April 19, 1988. The second Easter after Mrs. Threadgood died, Evelyn was determined to make it to the cemetery. She bought a beautiful spray of white Easter lilies and drove out in her new pink Cadillac, wearing her 14-carat studded bumblebee pin with the emerald eyes, another award. Earlier today, she'd been to brunch with her Mary Kay group, so it was late afternoon. Most of the people had been there and gone already, but the cemetery was filled with spectacular Easter arrangements of every color. Evelyn had to drive around for a while before she finally found the Threadgood family plot. The first grave she found was Ruth Jameson's. She walked on down the row and found the big double headstone with the angel, William James Threadgood, 1850 to 1929, Alice Lee Cloud Threadgood, 1856 to 1932. Beloved parents, not lost, but gone before, where we shall meet again. Next to them was James Lee Buddy Threadgood, 1898 to 1919. A youth cut down before his time, who lives on in all our hearts. She found Edward's, Cleo's, and Mildred's graves, but she couldn't find her friends, and she began to panic. Where was Mrs. Threadgood? Finally, one row down on the right, she saw Albert Threadgood, 1930 to 1978, our angel on this earth, safe at last in the arms of Jesus. She looked beside Albert's grave, and there it was. Mrs. Virginia Ninny Threadgood, 1899 to 1986. Gone home. The memory and sweetness of the old woman flooded back in an instant, and she realized just how much she missed her. Tears ran down her face while she placed the flowers, and then she went about the business of pulling up all the little weeds that had grown up around the tombstone. She consoled herself by thinking that one thing was for sure. If there really was a heaven, Mrs. Threadgood was certainly there. She wondered if there would ever be a pure, untouched soul like her on this earth again. She doubted it. It's funny, Evelyn thought. Because of knowing Mrs. Threadgood, she was not as scared of getting old or dying as she had once been, and death did not seem all that far away. Even today, it was as if Mrs. Threadgood was just standing behind a door. Evelyn began quietly speaking to her friend. "I'm sorry I haven't gotten out here sooner, Mrs. Threadgood. You'll never know how many times I've thought about you and wished I could speak to you. I felt so bad I didn't get to see you before you died. I just never dreamed in a million years that I would never see you again. I never did get a chance to thank you. If it hadn't been for you talking to me like you did every week, I don't know what I would have done." She paused for a moment and then went on. I got that pink Cadillac for us, Mrs. Threadgood. I thought it would make me happy, but, you know, it didn't mean half as much without you to go for a ride in it with me. I've often wished I could come and pick you up, and we could go on a Sunday drive or over to Ollie's for some barbecue. She moved to the other side of the headstone and continued pulling the weeds and talking. I've been asked to do some work with the mental health group over at the University Hospital, and I might do it. She laughed. I told Ed I might as well work for a disease I've had. And you're not going to believe this, Mrs. Threadgood, but I'm a grandmother now. Twice. Janice had twin girls. And you remember Ed's mother, Big Mama? Well, we put her over at Meadowlark Manor, and she likes it much better, and I was just as glad. I hated going out to Rose Terrace after you died. The last time I went, Janine told me that Vesta Adcock is crazy as ever, still upset over Mr. Dunaway leaving. Everybody misses you. Janine, your neighbors, the Hartmans. I went out there and got the things you left me, and I use those recipes all the time. Oh, by the way, I've lost 43 pounds since the last time you saw me. I still have 5 more to go. And let's see, your friend O.C. died last month, but then I guess you know that. Oh, I knew there was another thing I had to tell you. Remember that picture of you in the blue polka-dotted dress you made down at Loveman's? I have it framed and sitting on my occasional table in the living room, and when one of my customers saw it, she said, "Evelyn, you look exactly like your mother." Isn't that something, Mrs. Threadgood? Evelyn told her friend everything she could think of that had happened in the last year, and she didn't leave until she felt sure in her heart that Mrs. Threadgood knew she was really okay. Evelyn was smiling and happy as she walked back to the car, but as she passed Ruth's grave, she stopped. Something was there that hadn't been there before. Sitting on the headstone was a glass jar filled with freshly cut little pink sweetheart roses. Beside the jar was an envelope addressed in thin, scratchy handwriting, "For Ruth Jameson." Surprised, Evelyn picked up the envelope. Inside was an old-fashioned Easter card with a picture of a little girl holding a basket of multicolored eggs. She opened the card. "For a special person as nice as you, who's kind and considerate in all you do, the fairest, the squarest, most loving and true, that all adds up to wonderful you." And the card was signed. "I'll always remember your friend, the bee charmer." Evelyn stood with the card in her hand and looked all around the cemetery. But no one was there. Birmingham News, March 17, 1988. Elderly woman reported missing. Mrs. Vesta Adcock, an 83-year-old resident of the Rose Terrace Nursing Home, apparently walked off the premises yesterday after announcing that she needed a breath of fresh air and has not returned. When last seen, she was wearing a pink chenille robe with fox furs, royal blue fuzzy tight slippers, and may have been wearing a red stocking cap and carrying a black beaded purse. A bus driver remembered someone answering to that description getting on his bus near the home late yesterday and asking for a transfer. If you have seen anyone fitting that description, you are asked to call Mrs. Virginia May Schmidt, director of the nursing home, at 555-7607. The woman's son, Mr. Earl Adcock Jr. of New Orleans, said that his mother may have become disoriented. Birmingham News, March 20, 1988. Elderly woman found in love nest. Mrs. Vesta Adcock, an 83-year-old woman who had been reported missing from the Rose Terrace nursing home 4 days ago, has been found residing at the Bama Motel in Eastlake. Her male companion, Mr. Walter Dunaway, 80, of Birmingham, suffered a mild stroke and was admitted to the University Hospital for observation early today. Mrs. Adcock asked to be returned to the nursing home and was very despondent because, as she said, "Walter is not the man I thought he was." Mr. Dunaway is listed in satisfactory condition. Highway 90, Mariana, Florida, May 22, 1988. Bill and Marion Neal and their 8-year-old daughter Patsy had been driving all day when they passed the roadside stand that advertised fresh eggs, honey, fresh fruit and vegetables, fresh catfish, cold drinks. They were thirsty, so Bill turned around and went back. When they got out, nobody was there, but they saw two old men in overalls sitting under a huge water oak tree out behind the stand. One of the men got up and started walking toward them. "Hi there, folks. What can I do for you today?" When she heard the voice, Marion realized it was not an old man, but an old woman with snow-white hair and brown, weather-beaten skin. "We'd like 3 Coca-Colas, please." Patsy was staring at the jars of honey lined up on the shelf. While the old woman was opening the 3 frosty Cokes, Patsy pointed to one of the jars of honey and asked, "What's in that jar?" "Why, that's honeycomb right out of the hive. Haven't you ever seen that before?" Patsy was fascinated. "No, ma'am." "Where are you folks from?" Marion said, "Birmingham." "Well, I'll be. I used to live in a little town just on the other side. You've probably never heard of it. Little place called Whistle Stop." Bill said, "Oh, sure, where the railroad yards used to be. They had a barbecue joint out there, as I remember." The old woman smiled. "That's right." Bill pointed to her sign. "Didn't know you got catfish down this far." "Sure we do. Saltwater cat. But I don't have any today." She looked at the little blonde girl to see if she was listening. "Last week I caught one, but it was so big we couldn't pull it out of the water." Patsy said, "Really?" The old woman's blue eyes sparkled. "Oh, yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, that catfish was so big we took a picture of it, and the picture alone weighed 40 pounds. The little girl cocked her head to one side, trying to figure it out. "Are you sure?" "Sure I'm sure. But if you don't believe me..." She turned around and called up to the old man in the yard. "Hey, Julian, go in the house and bring me that picture of the catfish we caught last week." He called back lazily. "Can't do it. It's too heavy for me to carry. Might hurt my back." "See, I told you." Bill laughed, and Marion paid for the drinks. They were about to go when Patsy pulled at her mother's dress. "Mama, can we please get a jar of honey?" "Sweetheart, we've got plenty of honey at home." "Please, Mama, we don't have any with honeycomb. Please?" Marion looked at her for a moment and then gave in. "How much is the honey?" "The honey? Well, let's see." The old woman started counting on her fingers and then said, "You're not gonna believe this, but you hit it lucky, because today, it's absolutely free." Patsy's eyes got wide. "Really?" "That's right." Marion said, "Oh, I feel terrible about not paying you anything. Won't you let me give you a little something at least?" The old woman shook her head. "No, it's free. You want it, fair and square." "You don't know this, but your little girl here just happens to be my 1,000,000th customer this month."
"I am?"
"That's right. My 1,000,000th. Marion smiled at the old woman. "Well, if you insist." Patsy, what do you say?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And listen, Patsy, if you ever get anywhere around these parts again, you be sure and look me up, you hear?
Yes, ma'am, I will.
As they pulled out, Bill tooted his horn, and the little girl waved goodbye. The old woman stood on the side of the road and waved back until the car was out of sight. The end. Sipsy's Recipes, Compliments of Evelyn Couch. Buttermilk Biscuits. 2 cups flour, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 2 teaspoons salt, 1/4 teaspoon soda, 1/2 cup Crisco, 1 cup buttermilk. Sift dry ingredients together. Add Crisco and blend well until like fine meal. Add buttermilk and mix. Roll out thin and cut into desired size biscuit. Bake in greased pan at 450 degrees until golden brown. Naughty bird's favorite. Skillet cornbread. 3/4 teaspoon baking soda, 1 1/2 cups buttermilk, 2 cups cornmeal, sifted, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 egg, 1 tablespoon melted bacon fat. Dissolve soda in buttermilk. Mix the cornmeal with salt, egg, and buttermilk. Add hot melted bacon fat. Pour into greased iron skillet and bake at 375 degrees until done. So good it will kill you. Coconut cream pie. 3 egg yolks, 1/3 cup sugar, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 2 1/2 tablespoons cornstarch, 1 tablespoon melted butter, 2 cups scalded milk, 1 cup grated coconut, 1 teaspoon vanilla or rum, 1/4 teaspoon nutmeg, 9-inch pie shell, baked. Beat egg yolks. Beat in sugar, salt, cornstarch, and butter gradually. Pour in milk and blend. Cook over boiling water, stirring constantly until thick. Add coconut and cool. Add flavoring and nutmeg and pour into shell. Cover with meringue and bake 15 to 20 minutes in 300-degree oven. Yum, yum. Pecan pie. 9-inch pie shell unbaked. 2 cups pecans chopped. 1 cup sugar, brown or white. 1 cup light corn syrup, 1 tablespoon flour, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 3 eggs, 2 tablespoons butter. Line the pie shell with chopped pecans. Combine the sugar, corn syrup, flour, vanilla, and salt, and mix until blended. Beat in the eggs 1 at a time, mixing well each time. Pour into the nut-lined pie shell and dot with butter. Bake at 350 degrees until firm, about 1 hour. Sinful stuff. Stump's favorite. Sipsy's Southern Fried Chicken. 1 good-sized fryer, salt and pepper, milk, 1 1/2 cups sifted flour. Cut chicken into serving pieces. Rub well with salt and pepper. Let stand a while, then soak in milk about 1/2 hour. Put flour, a little salt and pepper, and chicken into a bag, and shake well until every piece is coated. Fry in hot, deep fat at 400 degrees until golden brown. Leave heavy pieces in fat a little longer than the smaller ones. So long, Mr. Chicken. Chicken and Dumplings. 2 cups white flour, 3 teaspoons baking soda, 1 teaspoon salt, 2/3 cup milk, 1/3 cup Crisco oil, 1 pot of chicken stew. Mix flour, baking soda, and salt together, then add milk and oil. Spoon drop into boiling stew, cook for 15 minutes, turn dumplings often. Should float off the fork. Fried ham with red eye gravy. Slice ham about 1/4 inch thick. Cook slowly in a heavy frying pan until evenly browned on both sides. Sprinkle each side lightly with sugar during cooking. Remove the ham and keep it warm, then add about 1/2 cup of cold water or 1 cup of coffee. Let it boil until gravy turns red. Blend and pour over the ham. Good eats. Grits. 2 tablespoons butter, 1 teaspoon salt, 5 cups boiling water, 1 cup hominy grits. Add lots of butter and salt to the boiling water. Slowly stir in the grits. Cover and cook slowly for about 30 to 40 minutes and stir till you like it. Keeps you regular. Fried catfish. 2 pounds catfish cleaned and skinned. 1 half cup sifted flour. Salt and pepper to taste. 1 half cup yellow cornmeal. 3 tablespoons bacon fat or Crisco. Wipe the fish with a damp cloth. Mix the flour, salt, pepper, and cornmeal. Roll Mr. Catfish in the mixture and fry in hot bacon fat until golden brown on one side. Then turn and brown the other side. Total cooking time about 8 to 10 minutes. Thank God for catfish. Milk gravy. Use hot drippings from chicken or pork chops. For each 3 tablespoons of drippings, stir in 3 tablespoons of flour and blend well. Cook and stir until lightly browned. Gradually add 1 1/2 to 2 cups hot milk. Cook and stir until thickened. Goes with everything. Pork chops and gravy. 4 slices bacon, 4 large thick pork chops, 1/3 cup flour, salt and pepper, 1 1/2 cups milk. Fry the bacon first, then dip the chops in flour with salt and pepper. Save what's left of the flour. Fry your chops in the hot bacon drippings until brown on both sides. Turn down heat, cover, and cook till chops are tender and thoroughly cooked, about 30 minutes. Stir your leftover flour into the fat and cook until browned. Pour the milk over the chops and simmer until gravy is thickened. Big George could eat 8 at a time. Snap beans. 1 ham bone cooked, 2 pounds snap beans, 1 teaspoon sugar, brown or granulated, a few hot red pepper flakes, salt to taste. Place ham bone in pot and add water to cover. Bring to a boil. String the beans and snap or cut into desired lengths. Add to the pot along with the sugar and pepper flakes. Cook over medium heat for 1 hour. Happy beans. Fun to eat. Sipsy's black-eyed peas. 1 1/4 cups dried black-eyed peas, 4 cups water, 1 onion chopped, 1 piece salt pork or 8 pieces bacon, a little red pepper. Put all the ingredients together in a pot and cook slowly until tender, about 3 hours. Even better the next day. Creamed corn. 6 ears sweet white corn, 2 tablespoons butter, 1/2 to 1 cup milk and water, salt and pepper. Cut corn off cob, then scrape the cob down with the back of a knife to get what's left. Cook with butter over low heat and slowly add milk and water and salt and pepper till you like it. Stir for 10 minutes till just right. Good for you. Lima beans and butter beans. 1 quart fresh beans, salt and pepper to taste, 1 piece salt pork or 6 pieces bacon. Add water just up to the top of the beans. Let it come to a boil, then simmer until tender. Add salt and pepper till you like it. Right out of the Victory Garden. Candied yams. 1/3 cup butter, 2/3 cup brown sugar, packed. 6 medium-sized sweet potatoes cooked, peeled, and sliced. 1/2 teaspoon salt. 1/3 cup water, 2 pinches cinnamon. In a heavy frying pan or skillet, heat together butter and brown sugar until melted and blended. Add the sliced sweet potatoes and turn until coated in the syrup and brown. Add salt, water, and cinnamon. Cover and cook slowly until potatoes are tender. Sweeter than candy. Fried okra. Wash your okra well and cut off the stems. Cut pods into sections about 1/2 inch long. Roll in cornmeal and fry in hot bacon drippings and deep hot fat until a nice crisp brown. Drain on paper towel, sprinkle with salt and pepper, and serve hot. Better than popcorn. Turnip and collard greens. Wash greens well and take the leaves, roots, and stems off from the collards. Boil a ham bone or some fatback or bacon. Add greens, a red pepper pod, and salt, pepper, and sugar to taste. Cover tightly and cook until greens are tender. Drain and place on serving platter. Reserve the liquid. Serve the liquid as pot liquor to dunk your cornbread in. We'll cure what ails you. Fried green tomatoes. 1 medium green tomato per person. Salt, pepper, white cornmeal, bacon drippings. Slice tomatoes about 1/4 inch thick. Season with salt and pepper and then coat both sides with cornmeal. In a large skillet, heat enough bacon drippings to coat the bottom of the pan and fry tomatoes until lightly browned on both sides. You'll think you died and gone to heaven. Fried green tomatoes with milk gravy. 3 tablespoons bacon fat, 4 firm green tomatoes sliced 1/2 inch thick, beaten eggs, dry breadcrumbs, flour, milk, salt, pepper. Heat your bacon fat in a heavy frying pan. Dip tomatoes in eggs, then in breadcrumbs. Slowly fry them in the bacon fat until golden brown on both sides. Put your tomatoes on a plate. For each tablespoon of fat left in the pan, stir in 1 tablespoon of flour and blend well. Then stir in 1 cup warm milk and cook until thickened, stirring constantly. Add salt and pepper till you like it. Pour over the tomatoes and serve hot. The best there is. This is Lorna Raver. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe by Fanny Flagg. This program was directed by Kathy Thornburn. Executive producers Kelly Gilday and Dan Musselman. Text copyright 1987 by Fanny Flagg. Production copyright 2010, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.